I want to start out with is the whole idea of whether there is or isn't a new anarchism. I think that whole concept, I think, was it David Graeber maybe who coined the term sort of new anarchism? I really disliked it the first time I read David's piece, and for a couple years I really didn't like the fact that he called it the new anarchism, because I wasn't convinced it was new enough to do that. And I'm not sure, and I've come around to kind of liking it a little better, but I'm still not sure about that. So the first sort of tension, I think, in the new anarchism is the very use of that word new anarchism. So I kind of want to go through these dual things. And the first one is, in a sense, the new can stand for different things, sort of a freshness, a sense of like dynamism and the sense of newness. Or it can stand for innovations, which I think is also true of the new anarchism right now. In a sense, it's taken a leap forward, and there are innovations in what we understand contemporary anarchism to be, which I'll go into a little bit later. There's also, in a sense, a newness where it's visible and has reemerged, so it seems new because suddenly we see something, and it becomes, it reappears, so it seems new. But I think there's also the tension in the word, which is why I think I didn't like it originally, in the sense of sort of novelty, a trend or a fashion. Right now, I think under contemporary time period, under contemporary capitalism, it's like everything has to be new in order to be able to be commodified and taken up and used and embraced. And that newness lasts for maybe 30 seconds, and then there has to be something else that's new. And so anarchism is new and exciting and different and then commodified, and then people latch onto it, and then they don't even know what it is, and then it dissipates and disappears. So the newness, I think, can be the same tension within the anarchism, which also is the tension I see within the new anarchism. It's both innovative, novel, and fresh, and will become old and tired and ephemeral just as quickly, or not as interesting just as quickly. And that's the tension I think we're all playing with in the new anarchism right now. At the same time, it's an old anarchism, too. I think the new anarchism has within it the history and the traditions of the old anarchism. It has the positive side of the old anarchism in that sense, that it brings forward the lengthy history and the good and the bad of anarchism, the multi-generationalness of anarchism. I've actually been often struck, this is actually an older group than comes to most things, but this past few years when I've been to things, it's been pretty relatively multi-generational, and even when there aren't as many older people as younger people, people are very accepting of the different diversities of ages, and from 2-year-olds to 90-year-olds, and I've really appreciated that. So the sense of the old and the new being able to coexist, and a sense of a staying power within anarchism, its reemergence has allowed us to reassert that we've been here for a long time. And so the old is embedded inside the new. But the old also brings with it the baggage and the stereotypes. For the sixth time, I think that I've been mentioned in an article about anarchism. There was just a local paper who wrote an article on anarchism, and I refused to talk to the reporter because you're going to put in the anarchist bomb things, and that's all we are. And every time they write an article, that always reemerges, the baggage, for better and worse, and how we both play with that baggage, and we get discredited by that baggage, gets pulled up with the old too. So the old always gets, when the new anarchism is discussed, it's always in the context of, well, they throw bombs, which is sort of the old anarchism, so it always gets pulled with the new anarchism. Okay, that's sort of the first dual sort of tension I see in the new and the old coexisting for good and bad. The second thing I think comes with this new anarchism is the sort of historical truism or phrase, all anarchists are socialists, but not all socialists are anarchists. As I know a lot of people were joking last night, it's who were socialists early in previous lives before they were anarchists. But anarchists historically have always understood themselves as came out of the socialist tradition and had very legitimate, viable concerns, gripes, complaints, substantive issues that made anarchists become anarchism out of socialism. And what I think is brought into the new anarchism right now from that is that all anarchists are anti-capitalists. All anarchists still retain the socialism, the anti-capitalism. But have kind of flipped the historicalness on its head of where socialists were associated with being the anti-capitalists, and now anarchists are associated with being the anti-capitalists. And the socialists often won't march with us or organize with us as anti-capitalists anymore, which I think is an interesting thing. So not all socialists are actually socialists in a certain sense. But at the same time, there's a tension within that also that many anarchists have no conception that anarchism comes out of the socialist tradition. Nor, or, and or they don't want it to come out of the socialist tradition. And or they're extremely hostile to or antagonistic toward and want to completely throw out all of the socialisms. And I'm not always saying that as a negative. A lot of times I do think that's a negative, the historical amnesia, the too easy willingness to throw off some of the socialism, which to me is a lot of the anti-capitalism. But the mixing and the blending and the willingness to bring in other traditions has been really helpful to anarchism. And in a sense, it's made the new anarchism a broadly anti-authoritarian, anti-hierarchical anarchism. Not just the state, not just capitalism, not just the church, but a multitude of different forms of hierarchies. So that opening up of anarchism away from the socialist tradition can be positive too. So that sort, but it's a dual tension of like, you know, the argument last night of, were you a socialist? Are you a socialist? And I was walking out with Rob, and people are like, what were you two in your past? And we did something in Barrie, Vermont recently at an old anarchist socialist labor hall, and some people they used to take pictures on the steps, and all of us went on the steps to get our picture taken. And I wasn't there, but the woman across the street comes out, and she goes, "Are you socialist or anarchist?" and I don't know what you guys yelled back. You're like anarchist? What? But then she said, "Oh, back in the old day when my grandfather, people used to say, 'Are you socialist or anarchist?' He would say both." And so it's, you know, it's an interesting tension now what we answer to that question. Okay, so the third thing that I think is kind of intriguing about this new anarchism is that it embodies both the ABCs of anarchism, the sort of timeless values, mutual aid, you know, solidarity, cooperation, voluntary association, the things we'd all list off that kind of have always been with anarchism. But the new anarchism also is not just an ABCs, but it's an adjective, adjectives of anarchism or acronyms of anarchism. CLAC, NEFAC, you know, APOC, et cetera, and also social anarchist, lifestyle anarchist, eco-anarchist, blah, 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 blah. And some of those things are unproductive and divisive, and other things are interesting because the timeless values intermix with the continual construction and reconstruction of anarchism, and where people bring in things that hadn't been in anarchism before. And I think that's helpful that we both are the ABCs and the adjectives of anarchism together. It also is problematic at certain times, too, because sometimes the ABCs don't line up with the adjectives of anarchism, and they are in contestation with each other. So that leads me to the next thing that I understand is really important about the new anarchism. Is it seems like this is one of the, more than it used to in the past, anarchism is actually able to more visibly and transparently open itself up and to show that anarchism has been really a play between tensions and things that people have seen as irreconcilable in the past. Timeless values, ethical, sort of ethical ideals can coexist with continual reconstructions of a sense of what we want the world to be. So the sort of idea that we can be both, have both a sense of unity or universality and diversity and you know, dynamism at the same time, whether those two things can coexist or push at each other is remains to be seen, but we've basically shown that we can at least be more explicit about that and try to put that into our practice. And I think that's been one of the sort of hallmarks of the new anarchism, is the ability to allow for that to kind of coexist in a way that emulates the kind of society we want to see. How would we allow for those two things to continually live in the open together? Okay, I'll try to rush through the last one. Okay. And I think what's, to then move into how that sort of worked more tangibly, I think that this has allowed for the sort of real tension that's embodied in anarchism, which is the sort of the free society and the free individual, is that there's a real focus on the everyday life and our identities, which has been brought into bringing traditions in like feminism or queer theory or everyday lived lives of being a queer person or breaking apart the gender binary, bringing in issues of race, bringing in issues again of ecology, or all sorts of things that both that make our identity and our identity in the world. Those everyday life things are more than ever able to be brought out into the open, and in a very joyful, playful, creative way. Spencer talked a lot about that yesterday in relation to Nietzsche. I'm still not convinced we need to go to Nietzsche for that, but that's. But in a sense that has been really prominent within anarchism is that the sort of identity politics has come into anarchism, but we try to figure out ways to make that not just I am these three identities and therefore I can't talk to you, but how can they be brought into anarchism, or how can anarchism be brought into them and allowed to and us to be able to contest those things and remake them in everyday life. But at the same time, I think there's been a really strong emphasis on the sense of the social and what that would look like. And anarchists, I think, have really more taken seriously the question of what would that look like in terms of social forms? What would politics look like? So there's this real sort of globalized look at what would horizontal forms of organization look like, or directly democratic forms, or autonomous forms, and people use different language. But for how we would allow the social to exist with all our identities in ways that are tangible on the ground examples of that. How would solidarity look? How would shared communities look? How would forms of organization look that would take power and divest it among, redistribute among all of us, so we could have a sort of horizontal society that actually makes decision making, has power to it too. So it isn't just that we're changing the everyday life, but we're actually changing power structures at the same time. We haven't done change both very much, but that, in a sense we're attempting to. The other area, I think, within the new anarchism is that there's also this kind of tension between forms of networked, global, fluid, mobile, decentralized webs. People have used all sorts of analogies, from computers to spider webs, and ways that we've been able to come up with network structures that have really begun to emulate how anarchists have long talked about communes of communes, and at the same time, a real turn toward how could we really, at the local level, try to really decenter power by bringing power back down to the local level, and at the local level, try to come up with ways to have on the ground tangible ways of organizing our communities, again, in horizontal ways. And I'm going to use this theorist in a bad way because he's not really talking about this in relation to anarchism, but Manuel Castells talks about networks of space and networks of place. And I like the idea that on the one hand, we exist in this space that is global, and we also exist in places, and I think we've been more than ever playing with how that would work with each other. It both totally annoys the hell out of me and makes me happy that people run around the world and move to different places constantly and are dynamic and fluid and networked, and at the same time are really excited about doing things where they live, but none of us even hardly half the time know where we live and we're moving around. And it's such an interesting tension in anarchism right now. Where how do we balance space and place at a time when capitalism is actually changing our notions of both space and place, and we're trying to do that too at the same time against that, and are also doing that in ways that capitalism sort of wants us to do that, which I think is a problem. The sort of last two things I wanted to point to in the new anarchism is that I think more than ever in this time period, contemporary anarchism itself is the possibility that points beyond capitalism and current social relationships and present forms of hierarchy and domination. Instead of when anarchism first emerged, people could look back to a sense of a shared past or a past that was different from capitalism, for instance. Capitalism has become so naturalized and so much more a part of our every minute of our everyday lives that we can't look to, oh, well, 20 years ago, we had really different lives to point back to the possibility. And so in a sense, we're self-referential. We're like, look at our projects to point to the possibilities beyond. Look at the ways we're doing things now to point beyond. So more than ever, it brings the prefigurativeness of anarchism into the immediate present as the possibility itself. I think that's really different than sort of the old anarchism. And in a sense, we ourselves become the touchstone for an ethical practice, for a prefigurative politics, what we do. Of course, that's a real problem itself, too, I think. It becomes that you need to look at us and do like we are doing, in a sense. I think that can be problematic at the same time. But at the same time, anarchist notions, as the same time we're becoming self-referential, our notions of how the world could function are sort of more relevant and workable and something that people, I think, might actually accept, even if they don't want to become anarchists, than ever before in history. The forms of technology, the forms of global organization, the forms of how capitalism is acting actually open up possibilities for some things we've been talking about that are non-capitalist, non-hierarchical, technology embedded in social relationships, political decisions embedded in how we make them. And so our ideas actually could potentially work more than they have ever been able to in the past. But we are having to look, sort of refer to our own practices at the same time. And that could be a problem, I think, in the longer term with sort of a new anarchism. It's both its possibilities. So that's what I wanted to end on. We are both, in a sense, the avant-garde now, I think, in terms of a utopian left, and both an ethical left and the touchstone of what people look to. Every time, it's just curious, whenever I've gone to events lately that are anarchist, socialist, or otherwise, the anarchists are always the ones that people want to go hear what they have to say, or at demonstrations people always kind of want. It's where the kind of interesting hip stuff's happening. But at the same time, we're also extremely marginalized and internal, in, inward looking toward ourselves. We're like, cool, we're wonderful, we're doing all the great things. And that's a problem too, in a sense. We're not taking this avant-garde moment seriously to say it isn't just about us and people coming and how cool we are, everyone comes to our workshops at the socialist conferences, is in a sense. And that's what I wanted to end on. The only other time we spoke together was at the New York Left Forum, which is the socialist, social scholars regurgitated into a different form, and it was so horrible, and I was being a total baby about presenting at it, because basically they're like, let's bring in one anarchist, and I was the first anarchist and the only anarchist they asked to do it, and I was like, I'm not talking by myself. So they finally found Andre and speak, and then they added three or four Marxists to the panel, basically to refute everything we had to say. And I was just like, one guy didn't actually present this paper, but we had this horrible email exchange about what it was going to be like. It basically was like, you guys can present your infantile politics, and then we'll refute it. And one guy was going to give a talk. One guy was going to give a talk, and his talk was titled "Politics Without a Plan: Contemporary Anarchism." And I actually really like that. I didn't like the sense that I think we actually do have not a plan. I think that's the socialists. They can't think in any. If you don't have a plan, you have nothing. And I think anarchism is really, I was really thought about that title, and I really thought in a way we have a politics with a promise, and that's really different than a politics with a plan. And that's what I think is really compelling about today's anarchism, is it offers a sense of possibility and promise and excitement and participation and the ability for people really to be involved in a process of the world they want to make. And that this idea that there, you either have a plan or you don't, has really what's discredited and made the sort of anti, the non-anarchist socialism really unviable and discredited. And for us, that's exactly why anarchism is avant-garde, is because we offer this sense of promise and possibility. And we're including as many people besides us in it, and we're trying to listen to other people for a change and be involved in other people's processes be involved in other people's prefigurative politics that seem compatible with ours too at the same time. So not only are we a politics with a promise, but we're also willing to listen to the promise in other people's movements at the same time. And that was one of the most well-attended workshops of that thing, and yeah. I thought it was really funny. And after, I was like, this was such a breath of fresh air. And so I wanted to just end in saying, I really think we should take, if we're going to be a breath of fresh air, that time period to be fresh and new is probably getting close to its end, and we have to really take ourselves much more seriously. And I don't mean sitting around having academic conferences like this, which to some is important in certain cases, but I also think we have to take ourselves seriously in everything we do, in every way we do, and that means, how are we going to be here for the long term? What are we going to do in the communities we live in? How are we going to juggle all these tensions I talked about? That kind of a seriousness. And be playful and joyful at the same time, because that's serious too. You have to be serious about that as well. You've got to have a commitment to doing that. So, okay.